Hello and welcome. Good morning. It is Eric Erickson here, the Eric Erickson Show across the state of Georgia. The phone number 404. Nah, that's not it. I'm going to keep doing this for the rest of my life. You're going to be on the verge of getting my cell phone number 877-97-ERIC, 877-973-7425. Quick check out there. It is chilly. Very weird division as the cold moves through the state. So it is in northeast Georgia. For the most part, it is in the 30s. You've got Rome is 41, Adairsville 39, Blue Ridge is 36, Clarksville is and Carrollton in the mid-40s, Athens 52. Then you get down to the south of the state, Douglas, Eastman, Valdosta, Vidalia, Statesboro. It's all about 60 degrees down there as the cold makes its way through. The President of the United States and the Vice President of the United States are all headed to Georgia today. The Democrats will be headed here in a couple of weeks for their debate. The reason the President and Vice President are coming today, twofold. One, the President's going to host a fundraiser for David Perdue in Buckhead. For those of you who try never to venture into the godless city, that's the North Atlanta rich part. I don't even know where the fundraiser is going to be. I assume at the financial center, somewhere up in Buckhead. There's going to be a fancy fundraiser. Maybe it's going to be at somebody's nice house. So he's coming in for that, and then the vice president's coming in. They're doing a Black Voices for Trump thing at the Georgia World Congress Center, which is down by the CNN Center. There are going to be protesters there. And then tomorrow, the president is going to the Alabama-LSU game in Tuscaloosa, and protesters plan to show up. The Student Government Association Alabama has told students that they can protest as long as they do so respectfully. If they get out of hand, they're going to lose their access to seats. Sort of an impressive play there by the SGA. Of course, the SGA is getting blown up by the national press. It was originally misreported that they were saying no protests at all, and that's not what they said. They said you got to do it respectfully. They don't want major blowups to happen there. This hour is brought to you by Dynamic Money. Go to dynamicmoney.com. Check out Chris Burns. If you need help with your life financially, Chris can help. If you need to help teach your kids good financial management, Chris can help. Chris Burns, he co-hosts for me. He is a dear friend, and he's got a great, great company that helps people reasonably, and they're not going to sell you stuff and try to make a commission on you. They're just going to give you sound advice for a flat fee. Go to dynamicmoney.com. I will get to the Bloomberg and the Sessions news here in a little bit. I will get to the Democrats beginning to melt down on Elizabeth Warren. I will even get to Donald Trump Jr.'s appearance on The View, which was hilarious. He handled himself very, very well. Before I get to any of that, though, I'm hesitant to do this, but I think I need to do this, and I'll take your phone calls here as well, 877-97-ERIC, 877-973-7425. Can we talk about Jeffrey Epstein for just a minute, please? Here's Tucker Carlson from last night on his show.
This was an interesting story, obviously, with huge consequences.
Yes.
That people wanted to know about that involves powerful people on all sides of the political spectrum. This is not right. This is not a polarized story in some sense. The people that Epstein was involved with, and we don't even know the extent of it, and we may never know, unfortunately. But they were not interested in doing more reporting on this because of threats from other people. Do bosses not back up their journalists anymore, or do they not do it in TV,
I guess? What's just so interesting is Fox is the only channel pursuing this. So you had ABC is clamped down completely. They called over to CBS to make sure they fired the employee who leaked it. Meanwhile, CNN, Jeff Zucker's network, and NBC, Noah Oppenheim's network, are not covering this. So, in effect, all of them are covering up for Jeffrey Epstein. Why is this?
And when they say we didn't have enough evidence, so we couldn't have run these stories, I don't believe that, right? Because they were happy to have Michael Avenatti on to talk about Julie Swetnick and so on and so forth. Like, when it's, do you know what I mean? Like, there was that, we can't report this because we just don't have it 100% verified. That doesn't always, comport with their standards for how the news
yes.
is covered, right?
The only winner in this, I think, is Amy Robach. Meanwhile, the celebrity anchor at her channel is having dinner with Jeffrey Epstein. She's trying to report on it. They're thwarting her. I hope she's rewarded in some way.
Yeah, so why is it the media is in a rush to protect the whistleblower against Donald Trump, and they don't even want to interview the whistleblowers with Jeffrey Epstein, and they're firing the whistleblower. CBS is firing the whistleblower who didn't even blow the whistle on CBS, blew the whistle on ABC. Well, why is this? I am not a conspiracy theorist, and I am perfectly content believing Jeffrey Epstein committed suicide. But I have to say, I understand why everyone out there in America believes he did not. I saw yesterday someone, I might have mentioned this, someone virally at an airport had the auto paging system in the airport. Page Epstein cover up, you're wanted in baggage claim. I mean, it's been really creative, the people going into stores, rearranging the stockings, the Christmas stockings that have the letters on them to spell out Epstein didn't kill himself. The memes you see, I saw a meme right before Halloween. How do you eat candy corn? One, open the bag. Two, pour the bag in the trash. Three, Epstein didn't kill himself. I've got to give people the creativity. It's a meme generated online. And one of the subcurrents here, and the reason there is so much here and so many people are willing to believe this, and why it is entirely plausible that it happened, is we have a lack of faith in American institutions these days that did not exist even 15, 20 years ago. Americans fundamentally believe that everything institutionally is failing us, except perhaps the military. Even churches are failing us. I mean, when you think about it, you almost, and then listen, I'm an evangelical Christian, so it certainly shapes my worldview here, but you see almost supernatural forces of this. I mean, don't let that turn you off. And just considering where we are, you've got sex scandals in churches, pedophilia, sexual harassment, you name it. Undermining the integrity of churches, Protestant, Catholic, Orthodox. You've got military scandals. The military, although still highly valued, it's still coming under attack. The presidency, obviously, the Supreme Court, the judiciary, state governments, the media doing it to themselves more than anything. The media is totally undermining itself. A major American corporations undermining themselves, picking sides, saying that half the country is wrong on cultural issues. About the only group left that anybody trusts are small businesses, and they don't have enough clout to matter. And perhaps some local church groups and nonprofits. But for God's sakes, you've got the left even attacking Chick-fil-A. You've got the left going after the Salvation Army. And institutions that have long played a role in this country, either side is trying to undermine them, and some deservedly so. I think when corporations go woke and they decide they can't speak up on China, but by God, Georgia passes fetal heartbeat bill, we're going to boycott, I can totally understand why people don't want to do anything with those corporations. I can understand why people are opposed. I can understand the distrust in government, of the bureaucracy, of the presidency, of the Congress, of the Supreme Court. I totally get it. I totally understand the media, the distrust of the media. But the fact is, the media still in the media bubble, the media thinks the media is still trusted. Nobody trusts the media. I've got friends who work in the media who don't trust the media these days. And some of them are really appalled. Consider the Epstein situation. The media covered up the Epstein situation. They did not want to report on the Epstein situation. To some degree, the media would very much like it if we would pretend this whole thing never happened, because a lot of people within the media were associated with Epstein. And it has much to do with damage control. Listen, I know people who are totally convinced the media is filled with a bunch of pedophiles, and given the conduct of the media on the Epstein thing, how can I convince them they're not? But it's not just Epstein. Consider the situation last week in Mexico. In Mexico, you had a family of Mormons murdered, women and children murdered, children, small children helping other small children escape the line of fire, themselves getting gunned down, shot in the back of the head, shot in the back, being closed up in cars while the cars are set ablaze, burned alive in cars. And what is the media reaction from the LA Times to the New York Times to the Washington Post to major television networks to the Associated Press to Reuters? Yeah, almost every single outlet out there. I think the LA Times had one. I know the New York Times did. I know Reuters and AP have run stories of Well, these Mormons, this is a cult down in Mexico, and they've got a polygamy issue, and they've got a violence issue, and they may have shaky alliances with the cartels, and did they get what they deserved? It's staggering to me that a group of American citizens are murdered in Mexico, and the American press wants to treat them as the bad guys, or better yet, lament gun control. And how guns are out of hand in on the American side of the border and flowing into Mexico. It's all a political agenda for them. It's all about to get Trump. Or, better yet, it's about we've got to ignore this story lest people be persuaded that Donald Trump is right. Can you imagine if Donald Trump had bigger ties to Jeffrey Epstein? And by the way, do you know why? A reporter told me this. Do you know why the media is not covering the Trump angle on Jeffrey Epstein? You would think they would have a good angle with Jeffrey Epstein here. You would think that the Epstein situation, because Donald Trump knew him and hung out with him, would be a big hook for the media. And a reporter told me the reason the media is not covering this with the Trump angle is because Donald Trump is so open about every person with every vice he's ever hung up with, they actually believe him that he didn't have those ties to Jeffrey Epstein. But Bill Clinton did, and we better protect him. And people in the media did, and we got to protect them. Famous people did, we got to protect them. I mean, by God, they got to have access to the Buckingham Palace Will and Kate story, so we can't cover it. Meanwhile, they want to protect a whistleblower in Washington, D.C. about the president. They're outraged by Donald Trump Jr. for having named the guy. I mean, listen to this exchange with Sonny, what's her name, on The View with Donald Trump Jr.
And it happened to you.
But
we're taking your name. We're taking your name.
Kimberly, you're a lawyer.
Yes.
And we've known each other. You were a former prosecutor. Yeah. I mean, did you advise your boyfriend that it is a federal crime to out a whistleblower?
I didn't advise him that it was a federal crime, but I did come out of the bathroom and say I left you alone for 10 minutes. What happened when Mama Sita's gone? Because by the
it's not a federal crime.
Reason.
It's only a federal crime for the IG to do it. That's in the statute.
That's not true.
It is not true. So
it's not a lie. He's telling the truth. An American citizen cannot be arrested for giving the name of a whistleblower. Donald Trump Jr. is not involved in government. Donald Trump Jr. is not a government employee. Donald Trump Jr. has nothing to do with government other than his father's president. He can name who he thinks the whistleblower is. He can be sued if he's wrong, but he can do it. And the fact that she's there saying it's a lie, that is a lie. That's wrong. The media has no credibility on these issues. But it's flabbergasting to see the American media is emotionally invested in protecting the whistleblower against Donald Trump. Is there anybody in my audience? I would love to hear from you. If you believe that the media would be protecting a whistleblower as much if the whistleblower had blown the whistle on Barack Obama, because I don't believe it. I don't think the media would be protecting any whistleblower who blew the whistle on Barack Obama. I really don't. They are emotionally invested in protecting this whistleblower. But when you look at the situation with Jeffrey Epstein, ABC had CBS fire the whistleblower. Now, I got to tell you, full disclosure here, it was perfectly within their rights to do. They had every legitimate right to do. That person took video, was an ABC employee, improperly took video from ABC, leaked it to a conservative outlet, went to work at CBS. Absolutely, ABC had the right to do that. But if it was Fox News, what would the rest of the media reaction be? If someone left Fox News and had video of Fox News anchors talking about the stuff they couldn't report on air about Donald Trump, do you think that if that person had gone and worked for CNN, that CNN would have fired the employee? Hell no, they'd have their own show now. Do you think the media would cover it, overwhelmingly fixate on it? You're absolutely right. They would be giving amazing coverage to it. If Fox News did what ABC News did and it was exposed, Brian Stetler on CNN would have to go to the hospital for priapism. The media would be all over it. I mean, this would be an amazing situation for the rest of the media. The New York Times, The Washington Post, The LA Times, ABC, CBS, NBC, CNN, MSNBC, the BBC, the World Press would be all over the fact that an employee from Fox News leaked video that showed Fox News anchor say, you know, we had the story on Donald Trump and we can't air the story on Donald Trump. We had everything, but they wouldn't let us air it. This would be an international story. But instead, it's Jeffrey Epstein, a serial pedophile whose death was questionable in a federal penitentiary, who had access to the rich and powerful globally. And ABC wouldn't run the story. They'd run the Brett Kavanaugh story, which was less substantiated than this story. Don't tell me it's a media double standard. And I bring up Seller, and I don't mean to pick on him. I think he's a perfectly nice guy at CNN. But his angling on this has all been that this got leaked to a right-wing group and circle the wagons in the press. The press circles the wagons on themselves, and they are they're perfectly of the left uniformly these days. And so they never circle the wagons to protect the right. They're always after the right. Is it any wonder there are a lot of people who don't trust the media? There are people on the left who don't trust the media. They're sabotaging themselves, and they're in such a bubble with such a sense of righteousness, they don't even realize what's happening to them. They're not willing to speak up on this. They're willing to protect themselves on this. They're willing to protect pedophiles to protect their own reputation. Is it any wonder we are where we are? But by God, those Mormons in Mexico, they probably deserved it. I mean, that's the American media today. Is it any wonder their ratings are as low as they are?
National Connections, Local Focus. Eric Erickson is live every weekday.
You know, I mentioned CNN. I've actually got to give CNN a little bit of credit here. There was an election in Missouri on Tuesday, and I read all the headlines that Kansas City, Missouri residents were going to the polls to either preserve and protect or reject the renaming of a street in Kansas City after Martin Luther King Jr. You probably heard the story. It was in local papers around the country, and it was almost uniformly portrayed as a bunch of a white people rebellion, that they absolutely despised that a street had been renamed by the Kansas City City Council after Martin Luther King Jr. And CNN actually went to Kansas City to interview people. And surprise, you know who's upset with the renaming of the street? The black residents of the local community. Turns out the street being renamed was in a historically black community that prided itself based on the name of the community. I forget the street name, but the community was named after the street. And this community had been built up over 100 some odd years, and just it was a slap in the face to the residents. And they really, really were opposed to it. They wanted, there's a new wing being built at the airport in Kansas City, and they wanted that named after Martin Luther King Jr. They did not want their street renamed, and so it was the residents in that community, the black residents in that community, who led the effort within the city to get it changed back. And you probably would not have known that from most of the press. I got to give a lot of credit to CNN, who went there and interviewed the people and discovered that the story was not as was being told. I want to play you another clip. Let's see. Do I have time here? Yes. I will make it. I want to play this clip, and we'll talk about it when we come back. This is the Las Vegas mayor. They have banned street camping by homeless people in Las Vegas.
Well, to be perfectly honest, first of all, nobody called to ask what is the purpose of this ordinance. And so they were ill-informed to make a statement like that. It is not the purpose of penalty or criminalization. It's the question of choice and providing service, beds, training, get back in a life of great integrity, success, and back with the loved ones that you share. So shame on these candidates for making those kinds of blatant statements to get somebody to listen and hopefully a vote. But unfortunately, most of the homeless population doesn't vote. So we have had great response to this and more offers of contribution and help, because in watching the entire thing, so many of them said, we were with you the entire time, and we would like to contribute towards a porta potty or some containers or help with the veterinarian care that's going to be given to the pets that come in with the homeless. And that's unusual in a community to get that kind of reaction and support.
Well,
and we saw and heard so many.
Now, I need to explain this to you. I wanted you to hear it first. They've banned street camping of homeless people in Las Vegas. And progressive activists are enraged that they've done this. Las Vegas is a predominantly Democratic city. And the Democrats voted this way in Las Vegas. And progressive activists are mad. And yes, we should discuss this when we come back and why it's relevant. Yeah, I got to get to Anonymous here in a minute. You can call in if you like, 877-97-ERIC, 877-973-7425. We left, headed into break, and I remembered, I want Charlie to know, he better be listening. Charlie's my producer. Charlie needs to know. He needs to I came back from break and remembered what I wanted to talk about. Y'all have no idea how often I get yelled at, deservedly so, for coming from telling people when we come back from break, we're going to talk about X, Y, and Z. And by the time we get back from break, I've seen something else and like dug the dog in up and squirrel and go off chasing something else and totally forget the number of times I have gotten angry emails and phone calls to the show from people saying, I'm sitting in my car and you said you were going to talk about this and you never did. And I totally forgot. I found something more interesting. Yes, I did remember. I did remember. And the only reason I remembered I wanted to talk about this Las Vegas thing is because I went to see what sound I was going to play next. And it's like, oh, I've still got this one highlighted. Yes. Okay. If you're just tuning in, let me play this one more time for you. This is the mayor of Las Vegas. The Las Vegas. I've been there. Recently, Las Vegas banned homeless camping on the streets. This is becoming a thing in a lot of urban areas. It's happening in Atlanta, too, although Atlanta's starting to crack down. Rome has cracked down on this. They were having issues there. Valdosta has been having to deal with this issue. Savannah has been having to deal with this issue. Athens has dealt with this issue a little bit, although none compared to Atlanta. Macon is trying to figure out a way to deal with this issue. But in major progressive enclaves around the country, from Austin, Texas, to Los Angeles, to San Francisco in particular, those three major progressive hubs, essentially cities are legalizing the ability of homeless people to camp on streets undisturbed from the police. It's causing all sorts of problems, defecation on the streets, drug use, all sorts of things. Las Vegas is a very progressive city. It is controlled by Democrats, and they've said absolutely not. Here's the Las Vegas mayor.
Well, to be perfectly honest, first of all, nobody called to ask what is the purpose of this ordinance. And so they were ill-informed to make a statement like that. It is not the purpose of penalty or criminalization. It's the question of choice and providing service, beds, training, get back in a life of great integrity, success, and back with the loved ones that you share. So shame on these candidates for making those kinds of blatant statements to get somebody to listen and hopefully a vote. But unfortunately, most of the homeless population doesn't vote. So we have had great response to this and more offers of contribution and help, because in watching the entire thing, so many of them said, we were with you the entire time, and we would like to contribute towards a porta potty or some containers or help with the veterinarian care that's going to be given to the pets that come in with the homeless. And that's unusual in a community to get that kind of reaction and support.
Well,
and we saw and heard so many.
Now, what was happening in Las Vegas is very interesting. It's progressive groups are outraged, and they've gotten Democratic candidates to get outraged about what Las Vegas did. You've had several of the Democratic candidates condemn Las Vegas for banning homeless camping on the strip, on the streets. And the strip is really what they're interested in. The strip is all the big casinos, the Bellagio, Caesar's Palace, the Venetian, Mandalay Bay, Treasure Island, and the like. They're all there. And they have prohibited camping of the homeless there and the rest of the city. I don't know if you know this or not, but there is a massive underground aqueduct system in Las Vegas. There are massive tunnels under Las Vegas that are designed for water flow when the rains come. Because, you know, Las Vegas is out in a – if you've never been, and I'm not going to encourage you to go, I don't gamble. I've been out there a number of times. I've only gambled once, and it was someone else's money. And but, you know, it's – so since I don't – quite honestly – and maybe we'll get into this a little later, although I feel like I'm going to be a broken record if I get back into it. But some friends of mine took me out west, and I went to Vegas with a buddy, and I don't gamble. And I found that I can completely get away in Vegas because I don't gamble. So I'm not sitting on the casino floor breathing in other people smoking cigarettes. But there are plenty of other things to do. There are great restaurants. There are shows. All sorts of stuff you can do. Great gun ranges. There's lots of stuff to do. It's adult Disney World. So they've got a homeless problem. And there are a lot of homeless people in Las Vegas. And they live underground. It's cooler down there. Underground, it's shaded, the water flows, cooling down the area, and there was a big profile just a while back that they found a porn star who had disappeared, an adult film star, I guess I should say, who had disappeared. Nobody knew what happened to her. They assumed drug overdose or something. No, it turns out that she is now living in the aqueduct system with the other homeless people. She does have a drug addiction problem. Most of them do, and lives there. Well, because of the trends in other cities, a lot of the homeless people are coming up in Las Vegas. They want to camp on the streets. It's too hot during the summer, really, to do that. During the winter, it gets cold. It was apparently in the 30s there last week at night, in the 60s during the daytime. The temperatures have wild drops. And Las Vegas said no, and progressive activists are outraged by it. And I wouldn't spend time spending so much on this, except there is a trend in this country. It particularly exists on the left. We could get into the psychology of it, the philosophy of it, and all of that, but here's what you really need to know. There are a lot of people who have decided that if they pass laws and say something's okay, they no longer have to worry about it. They can abdicate responsibility for it. And we're seeing that in a lot of progressive enclaves when it comes to homelessness. They look at homeless people, they see the mental illnesses, they see the drug addictions, they see all these problems. And what they say is, let's legalize homelessness and everything will be okay. They don't want to cure the problem, you see. They want to avoid the problem. Now, here's where my broken recordness comes in, because I say this probably once a week on the show. I am admonished by Scripture to seek the welfare of the city in which you're in exile. That's in Jeremiah. And it is not seeking the welfare of your city to pretend that its problems aren't problems because you've passed a law to say they're not problems. This becomes almost religious right for the left these days. They're going to pass a law and say, you know what, the homeless people camping out here, they're people too. It's their choice. Let's tell them they can do it. They've made a choice. This is almost absurdly individualistic, cult-like individualism, and I support individual rights and responsibilities. But what the left is saying is that this goes beyond rights and responsibilities. It goes to a fundamental matter of government, that this is a class of citizen, and this citizen doesn't really need our help. They just need us to pass a law to say what they're doing is okay. And once the law is passed to say what they're doing is okay, then suddenly the left doesn't have any obligation to take care of their fellow man. And I got to tell you, and I don't mean to be offensive, and every time I say this, I get hate mail from someone who wants me to know that it doesn't apply to them. I don't care if it doesn't apply to you. I don't care if it does apply to you. God bless you. But there are a lot of churches who are doing a really bad job on this front. They're sending their kids off to the beach in Cancun to work on their tan, hammer a few nails at a Christian ministry. Meanwhile, they're completely ignoring their own backyard. They're not seeking the welfare of the city in which they live. And listen, I'm all about supporting missionaries around the world. My wife and I spend money, give it to church to help missionaries. We've got missionaries in countries I don't even know where they are. I'm not allowed to know because it would put their lives at risk if I found out and accidentally said something. So they don't tell any of us where they are. But we support missionaries around the world. We are called to go forth and preach and teach and baptize in Jesus' name to make disciples. I'm all about writing the money. If I can't get on the plane, I'll write the check to get somebody else on the plane. Amen. Hallelujah. All that. But what about the homeless man who sleeps on the steps of the church? Do you have an obligation? I actually had dinner one night with a preacher who said it wasn't his obligation. That his obligation was to feed people the word and let the Holy Spirit take place. It's like the Holy Spirit wants you to deal with that. Doesn't mean your church needs to go set up its own homeless shelter, but get the person some help. What we see on the left is almost the same thing. They're saying, hey, let's make this legal and let people camp out on the streets, and it's no longer a problem. We've solved homelessness by saying homelessness is fine now. It's like looking at the drug addict whose life is falling apart and saying, hey, buddy, let's get you some more drugs. We can get you high and stabilize you as opposed to getting you off your chemical dependency. We'll fix the problem that way. We'll just give you more drugs. We'll make it legal for you to shoot up heroin. And that'll be, we'll get rid of the social stigma. And that seems to be where the left is heading on all of this. It's more about the social stigma than it is about solving the problem. If we stop looking at homelessness as a problem, if we get rid of the social stigma, well, then everyone will feel good about themselves and we'll have more money to help other left-wing causes. It is a religious thing that's happening here, and I do want you to understand that. You know, this is very, very, very much like a, well, I want to be delicate how I say this. I've been doing this a lot lately. Where I want you to hear the message more than I want to shock. And you know, so it just a random aside here. I'm going to go off on a tangent. You'll have to forgive me. I'm noticing there's this trend in conservative radio where there are people coming into radio who believe they just need to say outlandish things. There's no reason to go deep. There's no reason to talk in depth about a subject, because let me just give you the superficial seal clap line that everyone can cheer at, the bombastic line that people do. Can't believe he said that. And then move on to something else. And I would much prefer to spend some time here where I can actually go a little deep in this and try to explain to you what's going on. And it's kind of there's no reason for me to do shock and awe when there's actually a substantive point to be made here. So I want to be delicate in how I say these things, but because I know particularly with some people how something like this will come across. But let me deal with this. When you look at, instead of pagan, let's just say non-Christian communities. What you find is reflected in what's happening in these progressive enclaves. The beggars on the street, homelessness, the lack of institutional support for these people, all of the problems of a collapsed society that you find in non-Christian communities are now starting to come out. But here's the thing, if you're a student of history, if you go back prior to Christ. Go back to the Roman Empire, the pre-Christian Roman Empire. Go back to the lands of Canaan before the Israelites. You know, there are all sorts of things within the tribes of Israel where God gives them their moral law, their ceremonial law, and their civil law, and it's designed to set them apart from every community around them. And the presumption has to be in these laws that these other communities look this way, and God wants the Israelites to not look that way, and not look that way by so operating differently, by what they eat, what they dress, how they dress, what they wear, how they build their homes, how they build their communities, whether or not they get tattoos, all of these things to separate out. And I got to tell you, what's so interesting to me as a student of history, as someone who's gone through seminary, who studied these things, the patterns that you saw thousands of years ago with the Israelites going into the land of Canaan, God giving them the law to distinguish themselves from everyone around them, what we see in these non-Christian societies is it looks very much like the things that God was telling his people not to have. The pagan communities then, the way they treat homelessness, the way they behave morally, the way they behave sexually, the way they behave ethically, the way they behave with money, the way they protest, the way they behave with their religious communities, the way they behave with their children and sacrificing children and their views on the environment and all of these things. I know it sounds bizarre, but study it. It echoes throughout history. It reverberates throughout history. And what we're seeing as Christendom fails in the United States, and I do think the collapse of churches has a lot to do with this, we're seeing ideas that are thousands of years old creeping into our society. And it's not really new things, it's old things, but it's repackaged for the 21st century. And the way the homeless are being treated in progressive enclaves is very much like that. Go to ancient Rome. How are the homeless treated? People turn a blind eye to it. It becomes acceptable to hang out on the street in the middle of the night. You got nowhere else to go. Let the emperor deal with it. We don't have to deal with it. I mean, one of the things that set Christianity apart and made them be persecuted is the Christians were going into communities and telling the homeless people, you know, rise up, come with me. I'll give you a warm meal. Let me tell you about Jesus. He'll take over your life and you'll be okay and we'll help you and we'll walk with you. And it was the pagans in Rome who, you know what, the gods will take care of you. I don't have to take care of you. Just a complete separation from society and a complete normalization of behavior that no one should treat as normal. An idea that I don't have to take care of my neighbor. It is the idea of Cain that I'm not my brother's keeper. That's essentially what's happening in these communities. It is the left saying, you know what, I'm no longer my brother's keeper. I don't have to deal with this homeless problem, and I don't want to have to think about this homeless problem, and we're just going to make it legal. We're going to let them stay on the street, and then we're done. Say, hey, we've made it legal. You guys go take care of yourself. That's what's happening. Now, they'll get mad at me for saying it that way because, oh, we've got charities, and we've got community, and we've got all these things. But that's the reality of it, is they're trying to make it legal. And now look at the reaction in Vegas. Las Vegas comes out and says, you know what? We don't want this in our community. And progressives are mad at Las Vegas. And they want to make it about greed, and they're putting tourists over the homeless population. Y'all, they're not putting tourists over the homeless population. Did you not hear what the mayor said? All these outsiders coming in and yelling at Las Vegas. If they make it legal and just let people camp out on the streets, then they're not going to go get the services they need. They're not going to get the food they need. They're not going to get the veterinarian help for their animals they need. They're not going to get the mental health treatment they need. They're not going to get the drugs they need from mental health providers. It's just interesting to watch this neo-paganism creep in and it is indicative of this rise of the acceptance of homelessness on the street corner. And you know what? To hell with the property owners. They can be inconvenienced. It's the progressive who can build a negated community who's not inconvenienced. It is a fascinating thing to see. And it's something that I hope you will be more cognizant of in your own communities as you start seeing this trend nationwide. And frankly, your churches should be the ones to step up and say, you know what? We'll help the homeless people. If you're not going to.
Honest news and conservative views.
Never separated from the truth.
It's the Eric Erickson Show.
Okay, I got to play this audio. I wanted to do this yesterday. This is talking about the rise of neo-paganism out there. It really is something to behold. If you haven't seen this, it's started to go viral on the internet. This is, at least it's not happening here yet, although there have been some people here who have wanted to do it. Just listen, this is Ellen Scott. She's on Good Morning Britain, a British TV show.
What is upsetting, genuinely, about clapping?
So it's actually not just for people with anxiety. It's also people who use hearing aids. Clapping can be disruptive to that. People who have sensory processing issues, it can be very distressing and overwhelming to have those loud, sudden noises.
But it is part of our culture, isn't it, to clap? If you go to the theatre or you go to a lecture, or you go to a performance, or you go to a gig, you would expect that people would clap.
Yeah, absolutely. And that could be preventing people from going to those events, which is a real shame. So if some theatres or some universities say, actually, we're going to be more inclusive and do jazz hands instead, that would be lovely. More people could get involved.
And then what would be the penalty if you clapped?
I don't think there's going to be a penalty, frankly. I don't think anyone's right. going to say, like, you need to leave. But if you were persisting with clapping, even though you've been requested to do something, that's not very polite, is it?
Oh, so something would happen. So this is a journalist, Ellen Scott, who believes that instead of we need to shake our hands in the jazz hands, they call it. Y'all, what we are let me read you her bio, her biography on Twitter. Ellen C. Scott. This is this word for word. This she her writer loves green tea, gets emotional about cats, lifestyle editor at Metro UK. Listen, it tells you everything you need to know when you see someone in their biography and on their Twitter bio or whatnot, put in their preferred pronouns. It is a religious cult. And she essentially wants all of society to stop clapping, a historic multi-thousand-year-old tradition for a handful of people. I mean, it's very much the same thing with some of the other social stuff going on these days, transgenderism and the like, where all of society must upend itself for a handful of people. We're no longer to recognize sound science when it comes to biology because we might hurt the feelings of a handful of people. We can no longer clap in a theater because of a handful of people. It's absurd. It truly, genuinely is absurd. And there are a lot of people out there saying, hey, this is in Britain, it's not here. But the trend lines are that this stuff makes its way here. And there are already people on college campuses here who say the same thing. And we find that the college campus kids, they get out into society and they still believe these things. And it's ridiculous to upend society for a handful of people. You know, so here's one of the reasons that I do what I do every day and why I love my job is I can come in and I can talk to you about this stuff. And I know that a lot of you get in positions where you can't talk about this stuff. Even if you agree with it, you can't say it for fear of your job or friends or what. So here I am telling you these things. It's absurd. And right now you're thinking everybody can say this is stupid. You wait. Very few of you will be able to, but I'll still say it's stupid.